Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Reimagining Work from Within. I'm Emily, and I'm glad you're here. If you caught me and Lori in our last episode that we recorded together a couple of years ago, you'll remember that we explored a big question. Can AI write your purpose and values? What we landed on was that while AI might be able to mimic the language, it can't create the meaning or a shared belief that gives those words real power. That conversation led us to the next question on our minds. Can AI help you decide where you're going? Can it support you in shaping a vision or strategy? Or is it still something that people have to create together? That's what we're digging into today. And I'm joined by Lori. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Emily.
We're exploring the bots.
I can't believe it's been 2 years since we did that last episode. I think if you'd asked me before this, I would have said that has ChatGPT even been around for that long?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's crazy that it's been a topic for us to discuss for that long. It's been in the workplace and there's been some evolution behind it as well. Since we last spoke, the use of generative AI has increased from 33% in 2023 to 71% by the end of 2024. Wow. That's a pretty big jump.
That's a really big jump. I mean, I feel like that's true though, right? I mean, of course it's true because it's a statistic, but so many more people from clients to friends to even my family are talking about it and using it. And it just feels like it's kind of normal now. Whereas I think when we did it last time, it still felt a little niche. People were still testing the water around it.
I was still using it on my desktop browser. I have since downloaded the app. I can now speak directly to ChatGPT, which has been an interesting experience. It speaks back. Yeah, and we could use it in our personal lives and our professional lives. I wanted to say that 77% of companies are using AI or exploring AI use within their business. So it's no longer just a small part of our world. It's fully getting embedded. I wanted to take some time to explore the evolution of AI in the workplace. A couple of years ago, we explored whether or not AI could write your purpose or values. And we found that it could give us some convincing words, but it couldn't give us meaning or that shared experience of making those words come to life. I think we used a barbecue metaphor. Is that right? Do you remember, Lori?
I think you were mostly responsible for that.
That's true.
If I remember rightly, we were talking about the difference between the store-bought microwavable ribs that you might enjoy versus that slow-cooked smoker experience. And they're both ribs, but there's a fundamental difference between the flavor and the taste and what it means to eat one or the other. Writing your purpose and values with AI kind of felt like the store-bought microwave version, whereas if you really want those values and that purpose statement to really carry the meaning and the intention and the inspiration that they should have in order to be effective tools in your culture, then they need to be slow cooked and smoked up nicely with your team.
Got to build in that meaning, got to add in that dash of love. It's the only way. Now we want to take a moment and ask if AI can mimic clarity. Can it also mimic direction? Can it help you decide where you're going? Or is a vision and strategy something that only people can create together? Before we dig into AI, I thought we could take a moment to define what we mean by strategy and vision. What does strategy mean to you, Lori?
Well, maybe I'll start with vision, actually. That's the order we tend to think about them in. Having somewhere to go before you think about how you get there. It's always a good way round to do things. But I think, you know, vision for us, we describe as a picture of the future that you want to move towards. A lot of time, what we notice is that visioning becomes an exercise in trying to predict the future, which isn't quite right. If we've learned anything from these last few months and few years, the future is so unpredictable. We keep hearing talk about uncertainty and being able to cope with it, surprises through our economies, surprises through our political systems, changes that we can't really anticipate coming. Visions aren't really about trying to solve for that. They're not about pulling out our crystal ball and trying to know and control what's going to happen in the future. They're much more about intention. They're about asking ourselves, what do we want most from the future? What's the kind of future we would love to create? And being able to then have this picture of the business we're trying to build, of the impact we're hoping it's going to make, that means something and can guide the decisions we make moving forward.
Do you think that people sometimes confuse alignment on language with actual alignment and direction?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of the time when we're working with clients, they already have a vision statement. And that vision statement, in most cases, has arrived before many of the people who work there. It's really interesting asking people what their vision means to them and starting to understand the difference between being able to remember what that phrase was that you saw on the website with really having a felt sense of what the organization that you work for is trying to achieve in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good thinking there, Lori. So what do we think about AI's involvement in this world? Did you have an opportunity to play around with it as well?
I did. We've been writing Within's 2-year vision and strategy, and I've been playing with it. I'll admit, I've been leaning on what we call our droid to help us with some parts of that.
What do we think? Have we been impressed with the droid? I personally was a little impressed.
What did you ask?
So let's take a look. We have to give it a good base of info to get it going. I took chunks of text from our website speaking to our services, who we are and what we're doing, along with a couple of plans we've had internally. After feeding it all of that information, I asked for it to come up with a vision and direction and some strategic priorities. So I thought I could read you just the intro that it gave me because I thought that itself was pretty well done. We founded Within People to reimagine how businesses grow, putting people and purpose at the heart of transformation. Over the last 10 years, we've seen that dream take shape in many forms, in the cultural shifts of our clients, in the ways our own partnership works, and in the growing community of leaders who are building the companies they love. Now, as we look ahead to the next 2 years, we're stepping into a new chapter, one that deepens our impact, sharpens our focus, and supports us to grow sustainably as a business and as a partnership. This strategy is an invitation to align around shared priorities, to invest in the future of our work, and to stay grounded in the Within way as we expand what's possible for ourselves and the leaders that we serve.
Oh, I can just imagine you on the team all hands, CEO Emily, saying that and people going, yeah, gosh, that sounds great.
It sounds so good. It's a lot of beautiful words, but it didn't really give us a lot of anything, did it?
Just don't look behind the words. It's like a movie set, isn't it? Right. Stick from the front. But it actually mean, what are you actually trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, it is a really great mirror, right? It did a really good job in reflecting back what I've already shared with it. But in terms of coming up with a new direction or a new way of thinking based off of what I fed it, that's where I feel like it's really lacking.
That's cool. I didn't even cut bits from our website and paste it in there. I just said, go look at our website. And on the basis of that, start telling me a little bit about the risks and opportunities that you see for a business like us over the next few years. Where do you think we're under threat and where do you think we have opportunity to grow? It was remarkably interesting and compelling, the stuff that it came back with. It was really cool inviting it to explore kind of what our industry is going to be going through, the kinds of things our clients are going to increasingly need. Obviously, one of the things that I always think of AI sitting there and then realizing that it is one of the major threats and opportunities to our business. It always comes up on the list. But for forecasting and scanning and getting a feel for what's going on outside of our immediate bubble, it's a really good tool for sparking different thoughts in the space. I don't know, we would ordinarily do the landscape scan and then consolidate that and come up with our insights, and that would take us a week. This is happening in a matter of seconds, and it's presented beautifully, and it gives you a really great head start into the kind of conversations you're going to want to be having.
So what did we learn? Do we feel like we came away with some guidance from the bot?
Definitely.
Great.
Definitely. And, you know, as you did there, kind of even asking it to translate that into statements of vision and a storyline of where you're going, it does an eerily plausible job of doing that. I have read a lot of visions written on company websites and places, and it's right there with all of those in terms of how convincing it can create a picture of a kind of future state of your organization or what's going to be most important for you to be thinking about as you move forward over the next few years. Really good.
Well, that's all fine. It sounds like there might still be something missing from what AI is able to create. And I think it's something that we touched on in our last podcast, but I'd love to dig into it a little bit here. The words are beautiful. The strategy it's putting out or the predictions that it's putting out are very helpful. But I would say that when others aren't a part shaping the energy, they might not feel ownership over it, even if they agree with it. So without participation from your team or leadership, there's less of that natural alignment we've been talking about and less energy to implement it, and maybe even a higher risk of strategic drift or passive resistance. I think that we're missing that element of collective buy-in, but maybe we could speak to what that element would offer.
Yeah, I think that's the conundrum, right? Because there's some real advantages as the leader of an organization to be able to get a vision and strategy pulled together without intruding on the time and energy of my other senior leaders who are super busy and probably, you know, don't have time just available to be having these kinds of deep and meaningful conversations with me. Then the downside of not having those kinds of conversations, if creating a vision and strategy were an exercise in efficiency, then ChatGPT could do a really great job. AI could create something plausible that would help move it forward. But in an ideal world, creating a vision strategy is not that. It's how we meaningfully understand the direction we want to move in, the impacts we want to make. The strategy piece there is really about what are the choices that we're going to make, and sometimes the hard choices that we need to make in order to move ourselves in that direction. And you can't usefully shortcut those discussions because it's so important for the people who are going to be responsible and accountable for helping the business travel towards that vision or execute on that strategy to feel what it means to them and to understand that accountability in their bodies, not just in what they read.
Absolutely. Something that I've been thinking about are the moments of tension or charge that you might not actively be thinking about in your day-to-day that don't get dug up without those types of conversations. Even with that great input, you're going to miss those edge cases or the lived realities or even signals that other people are noticing. So little bits of tension that are bubbling under the surface or something that just hasn't been articulated in the right way because you haven't had the space to work it out and process it. And I think that creating that space and allowing space for a little bit of positive conflict and a little bit of creative friction, it's going to allow you to work through those conflicting views or those moments of tension and charge and come to the other side with resolution. And again, that collective buy-in, feeling like we were all a part of creating the solution.
Yeah, it's really hard to have people feel like they can commit behind something if they haven't argued it, voiced their dreams and fears around what it represents for them, and then work through that as a group, as a aligned leadership team. You need to hit those moments of misalignment. You need the individuals there to speak to the concerns they have, the desires they have in that space, and find your way through that together in order to arrive at a place where you can feel really committed to what it is you're trying to work on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just thinking of like if there's something that you think needs to be changed in terms of internal communications, for example, but you don't get to speak to your reasoning behind that, then it might just feel like a really shallow suggestion versus the experience that you're having and adding depth to that. Yeah.
It totally does. If you can have something that sounds beautiful and works really well, but if behind that everyone's kind of nodding along, but deep down they don't really believe in it, you're not going to have people feeling committed to delivering it. You're going to have people going, well, and really, that wasn't really my idea in the first place. I didn't think that was the right decision for us to be making. And you'll start to, whenever you meet challenge on the road to that vision, which you're going to do, the kinds of choices that have been set out for you, if you haven't been involved in some way in understanding what they represent, we talk about strategy as an exercise in making bets. Like, where do we want to place our chips? What gambles are we going to take? What are the choices that we're going to get behind that are going to allow us to move towards the vision that we have? And if a bot writes your strategy, who owns the consequences?
Owning the consequences is huge. Just being able to connect to and relate to the thing that you're trying to accomplish is really important. And there's an element of feeling like you got to help build the thing versus just being told what to do. If you open the door for emotional investment, it's only going to increase people's desire to help you accomplish it. Okay, so let's see here. We've talked about what AI can do. We've talked about the missing piece, but how can we bridge these two? How can we bridge the gap? How can we actually use AI and still get that emotional and collective buy-in from our team? Is there a way that we can still use it in the workplace, or is it just a no-go?
We need both, I think.
Definitely.
It's like having the most amazing assistant you could ever want as a group of leaders working towards something. It's not going to remove the responsibility, the burden of being a leader in that moment. You still need to be able to step up and share your hopes and fears. You've got to find ways of thinking around and through some of the challenges that your business faces in the coming years. You've got to really be on board with contributing to the decisions and choices that need to be made to navigate those and to exploit the opportunities you got there. I don't think AI can replace those things. And if we use it to, it's a challenge. But to get the ball rolling on those conversations and to inform them so much more quickly and so much more intelligently. Some of the things that we played around with, Jeff and I, as we were thinking through the Within strategy, were just once we had a sense of what do we think some of key opportunities and kind of gifts that we would want to be stepping into as an organization over the coming years would be, we could feed that back into ChatGPT and ask it to play through a bunch of scenarios for us, for example. What happens if we were really more concerned about the impact that we want to make, the profitability of the business?
Fascinating.
What would change? What sort of things would you work through there? What if we wanted to take certain kinds of investment or think about opportunities for us to form better strategic partnerships and think about mergers and acquisitions as opposed to bootstrapping and investing in ourselves as we go through this? What would change in our approach around those things? It doesn't give you the perfect answer, but it always gives you a great starting point for a conversation that feels like it's already worked through a bunch of variables for you that you can then take and inform the conversations that we needed to have around, well, which of these things does feel more important to us? You know, when we hold these up against our own vision of where we want to go, which approach is moving us there more closely? What sort of sacrifices, trade-offs, focuses are we being invited into in these different scenarios? And how do they feel for us? And does this create an interesting potential pathway forward for us?
Fascinating.
That ability to create insight and information, to consolidate a whole bunch of data into some useful insights, and then to be able to play through different scenarios really quickly is super valuable. You know,
absolutely.
It transforms the ability to spend our time and brain power on the aspects of where those are best deployed.
And honestly, we should all be thinking about AI and having expectations around AI. What can we be using this tool for that will help enable us to do the work we really love or the work that's most impactful? This is a computing device. And while it's fun to play around with its creative possibilities, I think that as humans, we should be holding on to the creative outlets as much as possible and passing on that busy work to the robot to do the computing, to do the evaluation part for us, that thing that would take just hours of tedious tasking. That's, I personally think, what chat and other AI should be utilized for.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a really important point, which is that this should be a creative process. I think normally when you talk about vision and strategy, people don't see that as a creative process. They see it as an analytical process. And, you know, when we work with clients around visioning, it's an invitation to dream, right? It's create a picture of the world that you see. And we do that, you know, often in a thing that I like to call a kind of bridge between business school and preschool, in terms of different creative ways, that super analytical space where we're inclined to try to predict the future and make good decisions rather than tapping into what we want most, what we're most passionate about, what's most meaningful to us in these spaces. So I think if you see vision creation and even strategy development as creative processes, it really helps to stop you falling into the trap of just delegating all of this to a bot, which is incredibly good analysis, but doesn't give us that same creative output and way of stepping into these conversations that causes us to create that sort of infrastructure in our business that doesn't just feel like an Excel spreadsheet with some numbers on it telling us the important but kind of boring and motivating to some but not others story of what needs to happen over the next little while. You know, that people don't rally around a spreadsheet. They don't rally around an algorithm. They rally around a story that's crafted by leaders they trust. You know, the difference between creating that story and simply reading it is fundamental.
Yeah. I have a quote here that I wrote while we were taking notes, that AI can help us write about a strategy, but it can't help us create one. We have to be the people in the room doing the creating. And this is a little bit of a sidebar, but I just have to ask, out of all the activities, the physical, you said it was a combination of preschool and what was
business school.
What would be one of your favorite strategic or visioning activities, like hands-on creative activities that you've done?
Yeah, I love doing a couple of things around visioning. I think the challenge with visioning is getting people out of thinking about today and also getting them away from thinking about how do we make this happen? Because those tend to be full of limiting beliefs and assumptions that are shaped by our experience of what's going on in our business right now.
Totally.
And it's too easy to kill a dream by wondering how it becomes real before you've had the opportunity to have it.
Dream.
I love using exercises around visualization, helping people imagine this future place and describe what they see there, rather than trying to predict what change is going to happen over that. And then how do we visualize that place can be super powerful and can be really abstract and effective in that. If people take away anchors, visual anchors from their vision, they tend to be really powerfully held. Like, I remember us doing a vision for Within, I don't know, must have been 9 or 10 years ago now, and I still can picture this magazine cutout of a bird which was flying across the top of it and kind of representing the desire for us to push the boundaries and move into clean skies around the conversations around culture and growth. that still stays with me now, and it still shapes the way I think about what it is we're trying to do in creating new blueprints for growth for organizations, right? So that kind of thing AI can't do, but it's starting to. It's not going to be able to find that meaning, but it's quite fun to feed in a bunch of things we're thinking. Make me a picture of that instead of write me a 4-point roadmap of that, which I think can start to harness some of the creative powers that it's starting to come up with now.
Yeah, absolutely. We did a similar visioning exercise in my time during Within, and one of the ones that I really remember is a magazine collage. We had a big image of ripples that always comes into my mind when we're talking about like speaking to the work Within People's doing. Anyway, yeah, those moments of connecting to the vision in a more tangible way really stick with you and help align a group of people. Yeah.
I think the same goes into the strategy creation as well. That tends to be, and I think a lot of time that turns itself into talking about goals and trying to build a roadmap for where we're going. So often strategy is described as a roadmap, and I find that a little bit challenging because I think quite often people think that the purpose of that roadmap is to give them one road. So
yeah,
that focuses them and moves them in the right direction. When I think that's how strategies used to work. It used to be, this is the way from A to B, and here's what we're going to do. And you would work your way through getting it done. Right now, the world doesn't let you do that. The number of times you are driving down that road on your map and suddenly the road's blocked and you got to find another road, unless the map shows you what those other roads can be or helps you understand the way that you're going to make a decision or what is most important to you when you come to having a choice and a hard choice that's a kind of an even over choice, like we would rather continue to make this kind of impact even over making this kind of profit, or we're going to keep that kind of margin in our business, or we're going to invest in people in this way even over opening up this new part of our business. Starting to work around the concepts of what's going to help us make great choices and decisions that's going to keep us focused, but allow us to be flexible. That's
yeah.
going to keep us on the path towards our vision, but allow us to be more resilient to the changes that have come along our way. I think that becomes, if not a creative process, a collaborative process between a leadership team who need to look each other in the eye and go, what are we going to choose between if we get to this kind of situation? Or how do we make decisions as a group in these scenarios? What is going to be most important to us as we walk this journey that allows us to know that when the inevitable uncertainty hits, we're on the same page with how we're going to work our way through it?
It's almost like we keep calling it road mapping, but it's more like a compass with checkpoints, you know, or really that North Star. The direction can remain the same, but the way we get there, we need to be able to adapt. If we think about 2 years ago recording this AI podcast and how much has changed and how fast AI has grown in that time, I think that's a perfect example of how quickly the road can change or be under construction, so to speak.
Yeah. And, you know, so often when that does happen, the strategy kind of gets torn up and abandoned or mistrusted, as opposed to it accommodating for those things as we work through it. And so I don't think AI is going to do a really good job of understanding yet how a group's going to make decisions around these things and make choices. I think, again, it can offer scenarios and ways of thinking, but to understand the kind of cultural dynamic of a group of leaders and be able to create a system by which that group of different people kind of share meaning, land decisions and things, you know, that's all still has to happen here. AI still gets to be the assistant in that space. It doesn't get to be the leader.
I had a couple of questions that I wanted to invite our listeners to think about as we're closing up this episode. Would your team recognize themselves in an AI-written strategy? Are you and your team aligned in belief or just in language? Something for you to consider and reflect on. 2026 is coming in a hurry, y'all. As you're getting ready to look at your vision for the year ahead, definitely take some time to consider these moments. Don't let a compelling plan distract you from the conversation that should have shaped it.
Hear, hear.
Anything else that you'd like to leave our listeners with or you'd like for our listeners to consider when thinking about AI and visioning and strategy, Lori?
No, I think just who's leading? Is it the bot or the leader? And let's remember that this is a creative process and really try and keep it in that space. If you're experimenting and playing around with this, as we know 70% of businesses are, I'm sure it's the leaders that are doing this, sometimes with curiosity, sometimes with desperation. But if you're trying this and finding ways to use AI to contribute into that creative process of visioning and strategy development, we'd love to hear how you're doing it and what you're doing. So reach out to us and let's talk about it.
All right. Well, that's about it for our thoughts on AI. Thank you for listening, everyone. We hope that you enjoyed this discussion. And like Lori said, we'd love to hear your thoughts on AI in the workplace. So please don't hesitate to reach out. You can tune into our podcast every month for more episodes on what's happening in the culture and leadership space, what's on the minds of leaders committed to change in our community, and other future of work content you crave. Reimagining Work from Within is available wherever you listen to podcasts.